You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, March 9th, 2011. This is episode 174, revisiting whataboutjesus.com. Oh. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is the podcast where we talk about technology and its impact and intersections on ministry. Joining me, as usual, is Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and welcome to Ash Wednesday 2011. Mm-hmm. It's a late arrival this year, but we have started the Lenten season officially today.
Yep, and every pastor is officially stressed.
Yeah, I guess I
you
could
take the good
with
the bad. It is a neat season, really. I mean, I love some of the hymns that we sing, and boy, what a great time for reflection. But does add some complexity to the regular week, doesn't it?
It does. I guess one of the things I look forward to is just the fellowship time, the time between the services where we mm-hmm. have meals, and
yep.
It's just a special time of year where we can just reflect and be together a little bit more than normal. So that's
do you
a good thing.
Do you stream your midweek services as well?
We do. Easy enough to turn the camera on and allow it to be streamed. So that's the plan. Yes.
Cool. All right. We are continuing our conversation on a book that you found, and I think has been a great experience for me, kind of getting up to speed a little bit on what actually is a 21st century school, a book by Lynn Shrum and Barbara Levin. And we spoke with Lynn a while back about the book, and we are up to chapter 7. Those of you that are reading along at home, chapter 7 is entitled, and I've got to page through this here.
I've got it here, Increasing Communication to Build Community.
That's the one, right. So what are the major themes in this particular chapter, Sally?
Well, Martin, I was just looking at the introduction to the chapter. It's on page 121 for those that are following along at home. And one thing that they bring out in the introduction is it's great to have, you know, knowledge and effort and energy put into teaching and learning with 21st century skills involved. But there's more to it than that. And I think the big key in this chapter is focusing on communicating that. Mm-hmm. Communicating that to what they call your stakeholders, those who are in your community who want to support the efforts in your schools. So helping them engage and collaborate in your efforts, making them aware, giving them ways to participate even in mm-hmm. This 21st century knowledge effort. And that's really what the whole chapter is focused on.
The topic is so large, we've got a whole book on it, and there are many books on this. And the fact that we've reached chapter 7 and we're not repeating ourselves suggests that there's a lot of things to talk about here. And I think in general the topic for this chapter is probably one you don't want to just skim over, because the leadership and the ways in which the faculty, the administration, the school board adopt some of the principles here and the approaches probably will say a lot about its success or failure within any school. There really needs to be buy-in at this point.
That's right. We're talking about with the parents and families in your congregation, maybe engaging the alumni of your school to continue to support and be a part of the efforts that are going on there. So what's cool about it is Web 2.0 is on your side, because there mm-hmm. are so many easy ways to communicate using things like wikis and blogs, online document sharing, just lots of collaborative ways where you can engage people with all the great things that are going on in your school.
Right. So we if we want to go through a couple of the points here, one of the tools that are used, and I think it's referenced throughout the book, and one that we've talked about a lot, are tools like Google Docs. So the Web 2.0 tools that are available, and I think it's probably hard to have a conversation these days without looking at some of these intranet friendly tools like Google Docs. They go on to talk about blogs, those kinds of things as well.
Sure, and really a good call out that kind of addresses that is on starting on page 124,
right,
where they talked with Melinda Miller, who's an elementary school principal from Willard, Missouri, and she wrote in her blog about how she's using Google Docs and just using it as a place for sharing information, for professional development type information, for PTO notes, for a variety of things, checklist, all different kinds of things where you're documenting these things and they're out in the cloud. Other people can look at them. Other people can collaborate on the documents, and just a really great platform for that kind of effort.
And the point here is that she's essentially leading by example. So she's using these Web 2.0 tools for what I would call personal, or, you know, in the book they say professional use. So development, day-to-day work, task management, information sharing, before it actually kind of gets into the classroom, so that there's a comfort level. And that's probably good advice on many different technology topics, is you don't want to be struggling with the technology or learning as you go if you're trying to teach this to others or make it a vital part of the educational process. So spending some time learning the tools, using them in many different ways for your own use and others, is probably a good first step.
You know, Martin, I've got a great analogy for that. Shifting gears just a little bit, my 15-year-old is learning to drive, and there's so many things he's trying to pay attention to. You can just see the wheels moving as he's, you know, thinking about all the different gauges he's got to watch and the brake lights in front of him and everything going on around him. You know,
and then a parent sitting right next door.
You cross that bridge, and I'm sorry, say that again.
And then a parent sitting right next to him.
Yeah, and I don't tend to keep quiet when I'm sitting next to him either. I have a few informational tidbits to share with him for him to consume as well. But you know, at some point, those things become second nature, and that's what you need to get to with your Web 2.0 tools, where you've got that comfort level, where you're kind of on autopilot with a lot of the things because they all make sense and they're easy to use and they're second nature. You're familiar with them, comfortable with them, done them enough times so that the technology isn't a hindrance to you, but then you can just begin to use it more fluidly in the classroom setting or whatever needs you have.
So he'll reach a point that he'll hear and be paying attention to every word coming out of his parents' mouths.
That's right. Obviously, that's the goal.
That's right. So, yeah, I think that's a valid point. The you have to do the time. You have to spend the time getting comfortable with the tools. And Gail Potratz mentioned that the last time we talked about Google Earth, that there really was no substitute for or shortcut to get that particular piece of technology into the classroom, other than her spending the time in it, getting to know it, clicking the buttons, entering the content, playing around with it, making sure that she had a comfort level with it before it actually came to using it in the educational setting.
So you talked a little about Google Docs. I think an even simpler way to get started with sharing your ideas is with a blog. And there's so many free blogging platforms out there. We dedicated a show recently to blogging and give you some ideas there on how to get started blogging. But maybe that's a good thing for you to do, just to take that blogging challenge that we have going on with Wells Tech right now. Blog once a week. Just get familiar with it before you start to use it in a more professional way, as maybe an outreach mechanism for your school.
The process of blogging can be helpful in, I think, your observation skills. I know that when I've made a commitment now to blog, and so far I've been faithful to that, I kind of look at content and recognize, is there something here that I want to learn a little bit more about? And is there something here that I want to share with somebody? So I think you're looking at your world in a little bit different way. And that's helpful, you know, to those around you, at least those that read your blog, because now you're sharing some of your own experiences. And you have to look at it a little bit more deeply than you might, you know, more with just a casual read. You and I both read a bunch of blogs. And now I look for different concepts, things that strike me, technology topics that do have impact on ministry, not just as a topic for this show, but maybe as a topic that I want to investigate and expound on a little bit more within the context of a blog. So I think the same applies for a teacher or anybody in a school setting, where if you're finding something that you think might be valuable, make a note of it. I have I use OneNote to kind of trap all my blog ideas, and then I return to it when I'm ready to write something, when I have some time to write something. But the next step is to learn a little bit more about it. So you're becoming not an expert, but certainly you've taken the time to learn enough to provide some insight that somebody otherwise might not have received.
Yep, and you can count on this book to give you some good blogging ideas for school leaders. As a matter of fact, there's a wonderful list at the bottom of page 127 going on to 128, ideas for blogging, things like describe what's working well at your school and also what isn't. Communicate directly with parents and family members in your blog. Reflect on your administrative experiences. And the list goes on and on. There's explore important issues related to 21st century leadership that support teaching and learning. Create a dynamic school website that includes links to your blog, teachers' blogs, announcements, calendars, school policies, upcoming events, and so on. Mm-hmm. And many, many more great ideas there. So if you're a school administrator looking for ideas to blog about, this list probably would take you through half a year with the bullet points that are listed here. And great, great conversation starters there.
Great way to lead. And then one thing, Sally, I really like about the book is that at the end of each chapter, they have something called activities to consider, which are really practical things that you can do to use some of the things that you learned about there. In this particular chapter, it's on page 139. And one of the ideas there struck me as maybe something worth sharing, and it says, make arrangements for a tech fair to showcase what your teachers and students are doing at back-to-school night or at another parent meeting. I think that probably would be a great way to get your parents excited and also show to the rest of the congregation that, hey, there is some consideration being made to this 21st century school concept, that technology does play a part, and we've done some good things with it.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot, Martin. I'm thinking that it might be good to alternate between a science fair one year and a tech fair another,
so that
you just put it into your regular rotation with your science fair or something like that.
That's
so
a great
idea.
That is a good idea. All righty. Let's move on to ministry resources today. And we've got an oldie but a goodie, something that's been around a long time but worth resharing.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure this is a resharing, Martin. I don't know if we've ever talked about
What
About Jesus.com as a ministry resource, at least.
I don't think
it's on our list.
Right.
So we want to make sure that gets on our ministry resource list, which we do compile a list of all our ministry resources on the Wells Tech website. And whataboutjesus.com is right up there, or should be right up there at the top of your list of places to share as you do outreach and personal or congregational or school outreach. There's something for everyone on whataboutjesus.com. They have a series of articles called Jesus Who, which allows people to get to know who Jesus really is and what his life on earth and obviously his God abilities and gave him there. And so check out that list if you're interested in learning more about Jesus. You can point people to Questioning God for questions, everyday life kind of questions that can carry over, things like did Jesus have a sense of humor? Why did Jesus do miracles? What about the Holy Spirit? Who is that? And that kind of thing, where they can just dig deeper in and learn more about the three persons of the Trinity. There's a page dedicated to life concerns, all kinds of things, government, crime, school, possessions, relationships, loneliness. There's questions and answers related to all those different topics. So if you're maybe encountering someone that's kind of struggling, this might be a good page to reference to send them some resources around that. And the list really goes on and on. There's pages about the introduction to worship, what people can expect as they visit our congregations and worship with us. There's a weekly service on the What About Jesus site called Worship Helps, which looks at the week ahead and the liturgy readings that will be part of the service in the coming Sunday, and kind of explores those a little deeper so that people can prepare themselves for worship.
We just, we're having a Bible class right now on worship, and that was one of the resources that was shared, you know, for that Bible class. If you're preparation for worship, and this is not just for the first-time visitor, but for the long-time member to maybe read the readings ahead of time, and not just read the readings, but there's a Q&A or questions and answers for each of those readings that help you dig a little bit deeper, so that when it comes time to worship, you've got all of that in front of you, and probably not be a bad thing to share in your service folder the week ahead. You know, these resources are available. You can even subscribe to those worship helps, as it were, get those emailed to you early in the week, and help you along your way to worship.
So I just would recommend, if you haven't visited whataboutjesus.com or if you haven't been there lately, to take another look at What About Jesus and all of the wonderful resources there. Invest in it as your personal evangelism resource, so that share a link maybe once a week on your Facebook page or via Twitter to an article on whataboutjesus.com, just to give people something to consider in their life and their walk with Jesus. So great resource there, and something we definitely want to get included on our ministry resource page, because it's a wonderful, valuable resource.
Yep. I just looked it up, Sally. The first time we mentioned whataboutjesus.com, episode 8, February 27th, 2008. That was in our Wells.net features section, where we were talking about the Gospel of John Bible study.
Sure. Well, I don't think we even had ministry resources back in the day, back on episode 8. So, the Wells.net feature was a great place to have it, but now we want to make sure it's included on our ministry resource page as well.
Very good. And that's maybe just a reminder that our show notes page is a veritable treasure trove of content. And Sally, you do a wonderful job at keeping that up to date, and I know I refer to it on a regular basis, but our listeners, if they're looking for some kind of technology topic, that might be a good place to search for different stuff, because it's all there.
It is. I refer to it regularly as my brain, because that's where everything that we talk about is there, and I know I can do a quick search and come up with a resource when someone asks a question about a particular topic. So that's very valuable.
Let's move on to news and tech.
Yeah, I heard a little announcement from Apple last week. It is that the iPad 2 is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Actually, I guess probably this Friday is the first day that they'll actually be available in the store. Mm-hmm. And they made some major updates to the iPad 2, and we wanted to just kind of point to that. I guess a big thing is that they've added cameras. There's a front and rear facing camera, so you can do video calls and take your own video using the iPad too. But one of the things that I was most impressed with from a education standpoint is the ability to project or hook the iPad up to projection or television, so that you can actually have the iPad screen on the wall, yep, so to speak, so that you can share what's on your iPad screen in a classroom type setting. And
yep,
made that a lot simpler with the iPad too. So that's definitely a new innovation that'll speak well for our classrooms.
I think that is through an HDMI cable, if I'm not mistaken. So you are still kind of tethered to the projector, but I would assume there's going to be all kinds of things that'll allow you to kind of do this wirelessly. There's already the ability to do that with different kinds of setups with projectors. So I think there's a lot of potential for classroom usage here. I guess I'm not all that sure that the whole camera thing is such a big deal. At least it wouldn't be for me. I can't imagine holding up a 10-inch tablet to take a picture or to take a video at this point. I just can't envision doing that. Maybe some will, and the size of the screen certainly would be nice to be able to see what you're capturing. But boy, that just seems awkward to me.
Yeah, I guess it's the all-in-one device thing that makes it appealing. The fact that you don't have to carry a separate camera, but if you do or are in a situation where you want to get a quick video or snapshot, you can do it. And certainly the front-facing camera with the FaceTime video,
right,
chatting, that kind of,
yep,
thing is valuable as well.
Right.
So I guess seeing the iPad announcement kind of tied to a Facebook wall post that we had from Joshua Johnson, mm-hmm, who's at Nebraska Evangelical Lutheran High School doing their technology, and they're looking at a one-to-one program at their high school where each student would have a computing device that they would use throughout the school day. And they're considering ThinkPads or MacBooks and just wondering and looking for feedback. And I wondered if there was any feedback. It kind of triggered for me the fact that a local public school district in our area, GFW Public School District, which is just north of Sleepy Eye, went to one-to-one iPad initiative, mm-hmm, this fall. And that was pretty groundbreaking when they made that decision last spring to go with iPads. They were brand new, and I was kind of curious if there was any feedback on their program. And I did find a really excellent blog post that talked,
yeah,
about the one-to-one initiative at GFW. So if you're considering at all using iPads in the classroom, I think this is a great blog post to review what their experience has been. And it sounded like overall a really good experience, but some challenges on the side of kind of maintaining the technology, just syncing all the iPads and adding new apps and things like that was a computer by computer experience,
yeah,
rather than being able to do it globally. But I think as things develop, there will be more and more innovation in that arena as well.
You were right about the blog post here. If anybody is really even considering this, that's a must read, because they go through step by step their thinking, objectives, the strategy, how to create an acceptable use policy, logistics of it, how to distribute it, how to incorporate it into the classroom, what accessories might be needed. They talk about technology and music education. Just a very, very long post, but very comprehensive.
Yes, and we have a few other links to add in this section as well. We'll link to a Ning network called iPadEducators.ning.com, mm-hmm, and there was a discussion there in their discussion forums about the iPad 2, and the announcement, mm-hmm, and what kind of things would be good for classroom usage. And then also via DIGO, Gail shared a couple of links to some apps, review websites, and digital storytelling with the iPad. So lots of reading there if you're considering using iPads in your classroom. Plenty of resources are being developed now that it's been out for a year or so, and now that a new device has been announced. I think there's more and more usage in the classroom setting.
Yep, very good. Shall we move on to our picks of the week?
I think that's a good idea, and I have a quick pick to share. It's called whiteboard blog. This is a blog dedicated to interactive whiteboards, not just the SmartBoard, but the Promethean whiteboard as well is highlighted here. And primarily on this blog, I wanted to point you to their guides page, where they've put together a long list of useful links and resources, help sheets and ideas for working with interactive whiteboards. They've got video tutorials that demonstrate how to do things like make a rub and reveal activity, or a pictogram with an infinite cloner, or using themes and things like that in your SmartBoard notebook software. And like I said, there's a whole section on Promethean help sheets as well. Just a very useful resource for anybody working on an interactive whiteboard, and perhaps even developing your own teacher training for interactive whiteboards. I think this would be a good place to start for new ideas, or for enhancing what you're already doing with the whiteboard. So check out the guides page on the whiteboard blog.
Very good. And I'm just banging out an email to my wife to take a look at this, because she's been she's been begging for SmartBoard resources, and this looks to be nicely done and nicely organized.
Yeah.
Just nice, lots of good ideas here. So, all right, my pick of the week is a website. It's actually an e-commerce site called monoprice.com, and in my opinion, it is the only place that you should be looking for any kind of cabling, whether it be audio, video cabling, computer cabling, USB cables, VGA cables, FireWire cables. The only exception might be if you're looking for high-end stereo hookups like HDMI. You may want to continue to go a little bit higher end, but I don't think there's any lower price location on the internet for cabling. I mean, most of these cables are, less than a buck, sometimes a little bit more, but not much. And I bought a bunch of cables from them, whether it be for work or home. And usually the cost of shipping is more than the cable itself. So rather than going to Best Buy and paying some, I think, pretty exorbitant prices for some of the cables that they offer there, whatever they may be, monoprice.com is really a good place to check out. I've really never had a bad cable from them. And for those of you that are in charge of the computer labs in your schools or churches or networking equipment, this is a great place to check out prices on, because I really haven't found a place where you've got lower prices than MonoPrice, MonoPrice.com.
Okay, so you wrote to your wife about my pick. I just tagged MonoPrice.com and Digo on my end so that I can come back to it, because that's my other brain is my Digo link list. And,
yep.
And that sounds like a good one to keep up with.
It is.
Very good.
Been around for a while, so they're a pretty trusted company. And most IT professionals know about them and use them with great frequency. So give them a shot. Let's move on to some news about some training classes we're doing this summer.
Yes, the summer is looming, and someday soon we're not going to have snow on the ground. I heard a news report the other day that we've had snow on the ground here in Minnesota since November 13th, and the white look is definitely totally yesterday, and I'm ready for springtime. And get out your calendars and mark the dates for our upcoming final web training. We're going to repeat our Final Web for Teachers one-day seminar, and then follow that with Final Web for Dummies, a three-day class session. And Martin, you and I have selected different dates to offer these classes this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing it June 27th through the 30th here in New Ulm at Martin Luther College, and you're going to choose August 1st through 4th for your classes there in Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, we've done this in the past. Last year we did the same. We ran essentially the same classes, so these will be very similar. But we ran them in parallel last year, and there were some kind of tweeners, maybe sitting in between New Ulm and Milwaukee, that could have chosen either one. But now we've got a further option there. If one date doesn't work, they can come to one of the other locations. So I had a ball teaching this last year, and I think the students did as well, and really beneficial. A lot of our congregations and schools use Final Web, so here's an opportunity to kind of get up to speed or a little bit of a refresher for these important tools.
We've kept the price affordable. It's $49 a day, and you can pick and choose between the different dates that we offer, depending on what kind of training you're looking for. The dummies class starts with a beginner day and then goes more and more advanced throughout the 3 days. And so if you do end up doing all three of the dummies class, you get a cut rate of $129, and all of that information is online on our registration forms. You can get to the teacher's registration form at bit.ly/FW4teachers, and the dummies registration form is similar, bit.ly/FW4dummies, and we'll have those links on the show note website.
So. And that price includes breakfast, snacks, and lunch. So it is it's and all the materials. So it is a pretty good deal.
Yep. Now we just have to get busy on all those materials, because with technology changes, that means our materials need to get updated. So we'll be working hard to give you the latest and greatest version of the Final Web documentation and videos.
Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to community feedback?
Yes, and we've heard from lots of people. Actually, we heard from lots of people regarding our Facebook show that we did last week, starting with Adam Valesky, who's at Christ in Juneau, Alaska. He says that he's begun to encourage the members to check in using Facebook and their location software via their smartphones before worship service and Bible studies and things like that. So it just kind of registers that people are attending and kind of points people to the location of their congregation by making use of that. So I thought that was a great idea. We heard from several people that have Facebook pages, and we were able to add those to the list. Kettle Moraine and Nebraska Lutheran both have Facebook pages. Nebraska's got some good stuff going on out there. They have over 480 friends on the Nebraska Lutheran Facebook page. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Probably the largest following I saw from any of those that we've looked at recently. And so keep up the good work, and maybe you guys want to check out the Nebraska Lutheran Facebook page for ideas for your own page.
Mm-hmm.
Martin, you wrote a blog post, kind of a follow-up blog post related to our podcast, and
Right. Had
some good ideas for people on their Facebook pages for their congregations.
Yeah, I kind of thought through in my own mind, what are the questions and answers that you really should ask yourself and then answer if you really want to get into Facebook on behalf of your congregation? And so I came up with, I think, four pretty significant questions from, do you have a reason to be on Facebook rather than just, that everybody else is? Are you prepared to maintain a site like Facebook? Because it's not easy, to maintain a good presence on any website, let alone Facebook. Are you willing to engage in a dialogue with those who visit? Because Facebook is a back and forth. It's not just you post content and just let people read it. They want to react to it and have conversations around it. And finally, do you have anything to say? Do you have anything worth sharing on Facebook? And I think the answer is usually yes, but you want to make sure that you've thought through that and maybe even have a schedule of content that you want to put out there. So just some common sense kind of stuff. I thought I'd just write it down and share it. So please take a look at that.
Very good. On our Facebook page, our Wells Tech Facebook page, Gail posted a question, a follow-up to this podcast, asking about posting things as your page rather than things going directly to your personal profile, sending content to your congregation page instead. And Gail wrote that perhaps she set up her Facebook account wrong or something like that. But actually, Gail, it was a shortcoming of Facebook. They didn't allow you to do that kind of thing until just recently with these most recent page updates. And now, if you are a page administrator, there's a link on your page that says use Facebook as this page. You can do it under your account setting or directly on your page. And when you do that and you say go and write on someone else's wall, it's not with your personal name and icon that it'll be displayed there. It'll be as your page, uh-huh. so as St. John's Lutheran Church or whatever, and it'll link back to your church page instead of to your personal profile. So check out some of those new capabilities with the most recent page updates, and I think that'll kind of address the challenges that you are facing, Gail.
You and I went around and around on this topic not too long ago, and thanks to your patience and diligence, I think I finally understand the concept, because as with most things with Facebook, I'm totally challenged. And this is one of those concepts where you have to kind of think of it in a little bit different way than almost anything else on the web. And but once you get the hang of it, it does make sense, and there is certainly a usage for it.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, related to our Facebook podcast, we heard from Brian Priest, and he thanked us for the deep dive on Facebook and said he got some good ideas from the podcast. And then he had a good question for us, Martin, and one I'm not quite sure we have a definitive answer on yet, but he said many of the Facebook apps and things are designed for mobile platforms, so it makes it easy for the people with smartphones to go to Facebook and to go to the pages connected. And he's wondering about when we post things from the Wells.net website, whether those could be mobile ready as well. So if you clicked on the daily devotion link on your smartphone, it takes you to a page on Wells.net, which isn't designed specifically for mobile viewing. It's more of a view of the traditional web page there. I think we're looking at some ideas for enhancing Wells.net with some mobile technology, and we just aren't quite there yet, Brian, but we appreciate the gentle nudge that you sent us, and we'll certainly keep you informed if we do implement some of those mobile ideas for Wells.net.
For sure. Yep, and thanks for the feedback.
Yep. A couple of links that you and I shared on Digo, shifting away from Facebook. I found an article in the Wall Street Journal that I thought was an interesting read. It was Small Tech Firms Tap into Churches, and it basically was looking at companies that are doing church-specific products, I guess is the best way to describe it. Things like we use Final Web and recommend Final Web for a web hosting provider that's specifically geared to and does excellent work for church websites. And another example might be Shepherd Staff, a product for managing the church office and all the data that they deal with. And I just thought it was an interesting read that churches aren't really competitive in that regard. They are willing to share ideas and things that are working with them. And so, you know, if a company is doing a good job, then they're getting referrals to other congregations and things like that. And I also thought it was just a positive thing that the Wall Street Journal was writing about churches and their needs and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think I even added a comment about the Wells Tech podcast to the article.
Good for you.
Interesting read. Uh-huh. And Martin, you had a link that you shared from Lifehacker.
Yeah, Lifehacker usually does these Hive, what do they call these things? Hive 5. Where they basically are looking for the top five whatever in a particular category. And they do it by poll. And they did one on the best PDF tools. And we've talked about, I think we had a whole show on PDFs, you know, maybe a year or so ago. And they kind of walk through all of the ones that are available. And the one that came out on top was Foxit, which is the one that we use around here. And some of the reasons why it's a lot lighter weight than Adobe and some of the other tools that are available. But they give a nice little description, the pluses and minuses for each and why they were rated the way they were. So take a look at that.
Very good. PDF is a great way to share content on your church website, so you're not relying on the fact that they would have Microsoft Word or Publisher or something like that specific installed, but that it's more a universally read format PDF. Mm-hmm. So you want to be making use of creating and sharing PDFs for your church site.
Sure.
Next up, we heard from Pastor Phil Arnold, who serves St. Matthew Church in Stoddard, Wisconsin. And Phil uses a specialized word processor that he wanted to share information about. It's called Mellel, M-E-L-L-E-L. I'm not sure how that's how you'd pronounce it, Martin.
Your guess is as good as mine.
What's special about it is it's great for Greek and Hebrew typing. So it's a Mac-specific application, and those who work in multiple languages would probably find it very helpful. What Phil said was he can paste in Greek or Hebrew text into his document and keep right on typing in English around it. And apparently with Microsoft Word, he's really struggled with that kind of thing, just the intermixing of the different character sets and things like that. And this word processor handles it very well. So if you're a Mac user, you may want to check it out, and we will have a link in the show notes.
Yep. Looks, and there is a premium version for $39, but I think you can probably get most of what you need with the free version. So,
very good. Thanks for that link. Next up, we had some feedback from David Schumann, who's from Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin. And he was sending out some major kudos to the work done by Good Shepherd Wisconsin Rapids with their streaming live services and also their online archive of services. And the fact that they are able to include like the hymn verses as a hymn is being sung, they have an overlay of text with the hymn verses and things like that. And one thing I thought was really interesting that David said was there at Peace in Janesville, they aren't invested in streaming live services, and they don't think that's their niche, and they really aren't going to really go that direction doing it themselves. But instead, they're making use of the live services from Good Shepherd and Wisconsin Rapids, and referring people there if they're looking for online worship and promoting that on their church website.
Huh.
And I thought that was great. Yep. You can't be everything to everybody, and so perhaps you want to partner or tap into some of the live services that are being done elsewhere so that your people have that as an option.
Right.
I thought that was a great suggestion.
It is, yep.
And we'll include a link to Good Shepherd's live video stream, as well as to the list of all of the live stream services that we're aware of. We've captured those on our Wells Tech Wiki, and we'd love it if you'd let us know if there's other live streaming going on. We'll definitely get it added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And last up, we had some tweets that we want to share real quickly. One is from MLC Johnson 16. His name is Josh. And Josh wrote and tagged at Wells Tech that he had found some great WordPress themes that he was impressed with. And then he also included a link to the Bethel website. Bethel is a church in York, Nebraska, and they are using WordPress. They're just getting started developing their website, and I think you'll be really impressed if you go to BethelYork.com and check out their brand new church website and how they're using WordPress effectively to host their church website. So great links, Josh, and thank you very much for sharing those.
I see a lot of traction in WordPress right now that some congregations are considering its use. It does have a lot of flexibility, and there are just a ton of themes, which really makes it appeal, I think, for a lot of congregations. So
don't think of it as just a blog, but
right.
Something that you can potentially host your entire website with.
Mm-hmm.
So. Lastly, a tweet from Gail that she tagged as a Wells Tech tweet as well, and she was giving kudos to Camtasia Studio, which is a past pick of mine and something that I use for kind of a high-end video production tool where you can incorporate images and audio and video as well as PowerPoint slides and narrated PowerPoint slides to get kind of a storyboard effect where you can do layout and zooming and all kinds of neat effects with your videos and output it in multiple formats, ready for your blog or for iPods or whatever format you're looking for. And Gail made use of it for some tutorials that she was creating, and I wrote back and said, happy to know that you're an official Camtasia fangirl, because once you make use of it, it's pretty pretty engaging, and you see the power, and I see the power in a lot of ministry applications for Camtasia. So if you haven't checked it out, you can download a free trial on their website. And I even wrote further about it in my blog post for this week, as I was talking about some of my favorite video creation tools. Camtasia definitely made the list. So check it out.
Very good. And thanks to everybody for providing the feedback. We just had a ton of it this week, and we really look forward to that section in the show. If you have something that you'd like to share with us, a question to ask, a topic you'd like us to consider, feedback on something that we've talked about in previous shows, we would absolutely love to hear from you. And there are many ways for you to contribute that information, that content to the show. Easiest way is just go to our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a comment there on one of our show notes pages. You could easily send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We'd love to have a voicemail from you, 405 for Wells. That's 405-367-9357. And we will play that voicemail on the show. We're on Twitter. We had a number of Twitter posts today. If you tag it with a hashtag WellsTech, that'll show up, and we will reference that on the show as well. Of course, we've mentioned our Facebook page. We have a DIGO group, all kinds of ways to get in touch with us, and those are all listed on the wellstech.wells.net website. So let us hear you. We'd love to have the feedback.
Absolutely. Time to talk about next week.
Next week. I'm looking forward to next week's show. I've been using Microsoft products. All of us have probably been using Microsoft products for a long time. And this is one of our church/school office shows focused on the technologies that make those offices run. And I think for many, the Microsoft Office Suite is one of those tools. And we're going to be talking about Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, even Outlook. Uses, pricing for nonprofits, tips, just all kinds of things related to Microsoft Office. So if you are interested in learning a little bit more about maybe a tool you're already using, or maybe ways to use it better, next week is your show. And we hope to have an interview with Dan Scheffel, who's going to also talk to us about a timekeeping system and a bunch of other stuff that he is using to, I think, primarily do time tracking for their preschool their before and after school program. That's what I'm looking for, right? And so we hope to have him on the show next week. So tune in then. I think that's going to do it, Sally, right?
That's it. Time to wrap it up.
Let's close the show with the music of Corbin Creek. Their song, Psalm 13, from their album, Could It Be Me? Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Must I wrestle with my